proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program. We continue our story of biblical Israel, turning our attention to God's covenants with the entire Jewish people. First, we look at the Mosaic Covenant. That agreement was given to the Jewish nation at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's closely linked with the Abrahamic covenant God gave to Abraham. When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, as recorded in the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus, God alluded to that former agreement, saying, quote, "I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." Unquote. The Mosaic Covenant differed from the Abrahamic Covenant in one major respect. God made the Mosaic Covenant with an entire nation, the Jewish people. He fashioned the Abrahamic Covenant with a single individual, Abraham, and extended it to his descendants after him. Exodus chapter 19 listed the key element contained in the Mosaic Covenant. God told the Jews, quote, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation." Unquote. Note the conditional nature of that statement. God promised to make the Jewish nation, quote, "a peculiar treasure," unquote, as well as, quote, "a kingdom of priests." He would make of the Jews, quote, "an holy nation," unquote, provided that the Jews would obey him. God thereby implied that Israel's disobedience would release him from the obligation to fulfill his part of the Mosaic Covenant, namely to bless Israel in their endeavors. Another covenant, known as the Palestinian Covenant, was made with the next generation of Israelites, the one following those who were delivered from Egyptian bondage. The Palestinian Covenant also emphasized the conditional nature of God's promises. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God again told the Jewish people that they were, quote, "an holy people unto the Lord thy God," unquote. He reminded them that chose them to be, quote, "a special people unto himself, above all people that are on the face of the earth," unquote. The Palestinian covenant made reference to various material blessings, blessings that would derive from obeying God's commandments. For example, the Jews would experience growth, material prosperity, freedom from sickness. The expanded version of the Palestinian covenant, mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, added the following promises. The Jewish nation would have victories over their enemies. All the nations would fear the Jewish people, and the Jews would have preeminence over all other nations. In that same chapter, on the other hand, God warned the Jewish nation of the consequences for disobeying him: material dearth, pestilence, and other physical afflictions, defeat and oppression by their enemies, removal from the promised land, a decrease in population, enslavement, all of these accompanied by fear and doubt in the lands of their exile. Israel had a choice: obey God and become blessed, disobey God and become accursed. Israel chose to disobey and rebel. The next session will focus on the consequences of Israel's disobedience and rebelliousness. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.